Welcome to Epistemic Media, the show where the truth matters, and so do you. It's going to be a relatively short episode today, just me, Theoman. I wanted to cover the idea of needing to tweak your apologetic method for the worldview that you're arguing against. With evidential apologetics, it's all personal. You're just trying to convince the individual by way of verifiable physical proofs. Your argument is going to be different nearly every time you talk with an individual. They're going to have different things that they need to hear in order for them to, of their own accord, come to Christ, or come to an understanding that the world is definitely, verifiably Christian. For the classical apologetics, of course, this is also naturally tweaked. You are not going to use the same arguments against Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Norse paganism. You probably won't want to use the Kalam cosmological argument against a Muslim. That's their argument. You're probably not going to want to assume concrete instantiations with someone who only believes, at least theoretically, in abstract universals. You're going to want to find out what a person believes and then pull from your stockpile of arguments accordingly, tweaking them as you see necessary. Maybe the Muslim that you're arguing against is an Asherite occasionalist, in which case appealing to the laws of nature is going to be totally ineffective. Maybe the Buddhist you're arguing against recognizes the need to participate in the illusion of physical reality, at least for the time being. Maybe the person you're arguing against is agnostic and already recognizes the possibility of general theism, but they reject the possibility of Trinitarian monotheism because they see it as a violation of the law of non-contradiction. There are nearly endless permutations of philosophical arguments, tweaked and tailored for nearly an endless permutation of non-Christian worldviews. And this is probably the system that most people are familiar with. Thanks to the ministries of R.C. Sproul or William Lane Craig, presuppositionalism is not the forefront of apologetics, at least culturally. So you are going to be very familiar with the idea that we need to tweak our arguments specific to the individual or specific to the worldview that we're arguing against. This is not the case with presuppositionalism, however. Many people ask, how can I use presuppositionalism against Islam? How can I use it against Buddhism? I see it being very effective on the debate stage. I see it being very effective against atheism, but how do I apply it specifically to the community of people I'm arguing against now, or in this context? This is not the case with presuppositionalism. There is so much work you don't have to do. By the nature of the transcendental argument for Christian theism, it is transcendental. It is universal. It is binding. Because this is God's universe, the Christian God's universe, his reality, physical and non-physical. Because the mind of man was constructed by the Christian God. Because we necessarily, as creatures made in his image, operate in his world, under his rules, we do not need to tweak the argument for Christian theism in accordance with their false view of reality. Now, this does not undercut the practical use of understanding the unbeliever's worldview, but all that you need to know in order to apply presuppositionalism against their worldview, you can learn in conversation with that person. You can press the Muslim who believes in the absolute oneness of Allah how they can account for diversity in a true and real sense. You can ask the Buddhist who believes that there are no concrete instantiations how they can account for living in physical reality, eating actual food, going to sleep in their physical body. You can press the Norse pagan on prime reality. What came before Odin? What came before his father and his mother? Because every worldview that is not explicitly Christian is inconsistent with the reality in which we live. All you have to do is point it out. Instead of wasting time in pure hypothetical speculation and philosophical vanity, you can deal with reality as it is and force the unbeliever to account for reality as it is. And the more that they can account for it, the more they will approach Christianity. Consistency is the unbelieving worldview's greatest downfall. You cannot live and believe consistently in the reality we live in unless you're Christian. and the most consistent of the Christian views is obviously the Reformed position. Presuppositionalism cannot work in a Roman Catholic or a semi-Pelagian and Arminian view of Christianity. It's just not consistent. A presuppositionalist Roman Catholic would be someone who presupposes the authority of the Roman Catholic pontiff and the magisterium and the great tradition, neither of which are self-verifying, neither of which have the authority of Scripture. Only the Reformed conception of reality can account for reality as it actually is. And so in that regard, presuppositional apologetics is not only useful against the unbeliever, but useful against the believer, to press them on their consistency until they necessarily either reject the Christian conception of God or turn to the Reformed conception of reality. Press them for consistency and they'll either come out a Reformed Christian or a heretic. Just remember to practice tact. And by tact, I don't just mean the transcendental argument for Christian theism. Remember to be a good person. Be kind. Be courteous. Be generous. We don't need any more cage-stage presuppositionalists out here. There is zero rhetorical power in being a huge prick. And then you're the one being inconsistent with your Christian convictions. So a quick recap. You're almost certainly familiar with the idea of tweaking our arguments for specific non-Christian worldviews. Presuppositionalism does not suffer from this need to be tweaked. The Reformed conception of reality is the only worldview that is consistent enough for presuppositional apologetics to be consistent and not self-defeating. Press the unbeliever for consistency, and you will leave them without excuse. Now let's leave behind the false notion that presuppositionalism needs to be tweaked in order to be effective.